This is Jack Vaughn for the Talking Data Podcast, and today our guest is Jack Norris, Chief Marketing Officer at MapR, one of the key companies in Hadoop and Spark since the get-go. Jack has been very closely involved with the task of bringing Hadoop to market, and we're certainly glad to have him with us. Jack, I'd like to ask you, what's it been like? I mean, you probably started off, people said Hadoop what, and you still may get some of that. How is it going?
Oh, it's been tremendous. And yeah, we did get that question quite a few years ago, but now it's almost exclusively that we understand Hadoop, but what we're really looking at is how can we use it to impact our business? And it's usually a question of where to start and where to expand, not kind of, you know, tell us about the technology per se.
And at some point, Spark came up, and again, also from the Apache Foundation, and some people saw it as a threat to Hadoop, but it seems all the independent distribution vendors have moved to include it in their portfolio. So I guess if you could give us an outline on that, where do you see Spark used today?
Yeah, so Spark, I think looking at Spark, you should look at it as an evolution within the Hadoop ecosystem, not a revolution. There was a flurry of excitement because, you know, quite frankly, MapReduce programming was difficult, and Spark promised this real ease of development. It provided new programming APIs. You could program in Scala and Python, and it made it much easier to develop applications, and it provided the constructs for streaming analytics as well. So things that were very useful as you're looking at data arriving events at a time and doing things like aggregation and filtering. So it's very complementary. We have, I would roughly estimate maybe half of our customers have Spark at various stages of production, and you know, there's quite a lot of excitement and development going on in the community.
Is there a sense about are there use cases that can be characterized at this point that may really stick with MapReduce for a long time?
Yeah, I think that the best way to think about big data and think about this environment, you almost have to take on a different perspective, because what we're used to talking about is specific applications or specific use cases, and that dictates how data is laid out, you know, how data is stored, and basically it's what's led to a proliferation of data silos. And with big data, and if you've got kind of a converged data platform where you can do multiple things on a cluster and multiple things that are integrated, then you can really see some powerful applications that emerge. And some of those involve the ability to handle these streaming analytics so that you can respond to data as it's arriving in real time. And that response is based on some deep analytics that have been run, and can side by side include some database operations for some real time results and real time responses. And so it's increasingly about these converged operations on the data, and it's about compressing that whole cycle so that organizations can respond in a much more rapid manner. And so it's not about big reports or, you know, what happened last week. It's much more about how do we adjust and how do we respond and impact the business as it's happening.
Well, let me just press a little further on MapReduce, because I continue to meet people who are just coming to Hadoop, and that's the route they're taking. It seems, if I'm trying to characterize what that looks like to me, it appears as if it is batch. It's not real time or near real time. It would probably be a better way of saying it. But do you think there is a place for batch for some needs going forward, or disagree?
Well, I think you have to separate what is batch because of the underlying limitations of the system, and what is batch because that's the preferred, preferred operations. And, you know, I think you can look at just enterprise computing in general, and it's difficult to come up with a list of systems that are batch. I mean, we haven't really talked about batch for a few decades now. The reason I think that with Hadoop we talk about batch a lot is because of how that was kind of constructed originally, and the ability to continuously ingest data is limited, and the ability to do kind of real-time operations on the data is limited. And that's one of the reasons we've looked at convergence and converging enterprise storage and Hadoop together to eliminate those issues and to kind of broaden the applicability of a data platform. And so what you're seeing is maybe some deep analytics and looking at, I want to look at patterns that, you know, run across the data for the past 7 years, but I want to do that in context so that I can understand and better respond to patterns either for operational issues, whether it's maintenance and looking at failures in equipment, or whether I'm looking at customer patterns and I'm trying to look at, you know, what's a fraudulent activity and what's a legitimate business action. Or I'm looking at telecom and network transmission and trying to reduce issues and improve the overall experience.
And fairly recently announced some streaming, or would you call it messaging software, to move this along.
So we've been talking about big data, but the reality is big data is typically generated one event at a time. So being able to coordinate how that data is flowing in, and being able to have a global messaging, you know, kind of event streaming capability, publish and subscribe so that the applications on top, whether it be Spark or Storm or Flink or what have you, can better operate, and you can better manage the flow of data. Streams is an important aspect of that. And it reduces kind of the cluster sprawl that's out there. It kind of converges the hardware, and more importantly, perhaps, it compresses the latency and delays in the system so that you've got production data, you've got analytics, you've got data in motion, you've got data at rest all integrated together, and it really makes possible new applications and improves existing applications tremendously.
Well, it's been interesting so far. We a lot of different ways to go at this. We don't expect things to slow down. This is Jack Vaughn thanking Jack Norris for sharing his time today, and also thanking you, our Talking Data podcast audience. We'll see you next time as we follow the data.